And I am rejoicing and I am glad in it. My hope is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. How you doing, McCoy?
We're doing well. We hope the phone cooperates tonight. If not, my instructions to pass to Professor Reggie is keep pressing.
All right.
Press on, my child.
I haven't heard Pastor Reggie on the line. Are you there, Professor? If not, we're going to do what? Going to keep pressing.
Keep pressing.
Yep. That's what we do.
I haven't heard it since Susie. Get ready here. Well, this is going to rain tomorrow. That's what they forecasted. A couple of days. We need the rain. Okay, good evening, everybody. It is November the 5th, 2024, Election Day. It's about 7:03 p.m. We're ready for our opening word this evening in Romans. Welcome to the 3P and the evening. Preaching prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching. In accordance with Matthew 28:19, on behalf of Gates of Prayer, Tabernacle Incorporated, Cabin Place Beyond the Wall, Out of the Box Ministries, Enlightenment Ministry, and Thursday in the Scriptures by Minister Mary Whitfield, we welcome you to our Walk in the Word. This evening we are going to begin with prayer by Deacon Alfred Henderson, followed by an old hymn of the church by you, yours truly. Amen. We're ready.
Father God Almighty, God, we come before you this evening. We come glorifying you and praising you, for you are the God of all creation. You are our Father. You are our one and only source. You are the one and only true and living God, and we worship you and praise you, God. Heavenly Father, we seek you this evening, for you are truly awesome to all of us. We have nobody but you, God, because you created all things.
Yes.
God, you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. We don't have knowledge of all things, God. God, you are omnipresent.
Yes,
God, you are everywhere at the same time. God, we don't have that ability to be everywhere at the same time. God, you are sovereign.
Yes.
Your power rules and super rules over any authority that is given us. And here we are, God, the recipients of another day of your grace and your mercy because you love us. And for that, God, we want to say thank you. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness for our sins. We ask, God, will you create in us a clean heart and will you renew in us a right spirit? Father God, we thank you that you kept your loving arms of protection around us. And here we are at this 7 p.m. hour. We're safe. We're secure. We've been protected. We've been watched over. We're grateful, God, that you have continued to keep us in our right minds, Lord. We have mental clarity, Lord. There's so much that has transpired in all of our lives over the years. There are things that are currently going on in the world that affects all of us, Lord. But God, through it all, you have kept our minds and you've kept us focused and you continue to usher in peace and enable us to walk in calmness. And for that, God, we are grateful. God, we are grateful that you allowed your only begotten Son to die for all of our sins. You sacrificed him so that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly, because that's what you want for your children. And for that, God, we are grateful. God, we are grateful that you chose us as humans to deposit your spirit into. And we're grateful, God, that we have your Holy Spirit in us, helping us on life journey to understand your word and to guide us into the way of truth. When we find ourselves at the crossroad of being spiritually attacked, your Holy Spirit whispers to us. Your Holy Spirit brings peace to us. Your Holy Spirit brings comfort to us. And for that, God, we are grateful. And God, as we sit at this table tonight, you know each of us. You know what our families stand in need of. And we're just coming and resting in you, God, because the finished work has already been done. Help us just to now walk in prosperity. Help us to walk in peace. Give us understanding, for you say in your word and all I get it, we ought to get understanding. So, Lord, as we exchange what we've been blessed with through walking in Romans tonight, as we exchange those things, I pray that we all will be blessed and that we can take from each other and that we can learn from each other. And then when we meet people that don't know you, God, that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with simplicity and with understanding, so that those we witness to want to know this awesome God that we love and serve. God, thank you for Dr. Singleton. Thank you for Pastor Kuiper. Thank you for Apostle L.A.S.I. Thank you, Father God, for Brother John. Thank you, God, for all the other ministers that come on this line to teach and preach your word. I thank you personally, Lord, for all the wisdom that's on this line that helps me to be a better person. And I ask your blessing will continue to flow into each of their lives, Lord. I just ask now, Holy Spirit, as we sit at this table and talk, I ask you to move on our hearts and our minds and our souls. And when we disconnect from this line, Father God, please continue to keep us and our families safe. Please continue, Holy Spirit, to lead us in the way of truth. Jesus, please give us the strength, Jesus, to press on and to look to you, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. These things, God, we are asking of you in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. And also, before I close this prayer, God, I ask will you keep your loving arms of protection around our dear sister, Pat Taylor. And she goes through rehabilitation, Lord. I pray that you will place around her compassionate occupational and physical therapist that will work with her and whatever other service she needs, that you will assign her personal angels to keep her and to help her.
Oh, Lord.
Get stronger, Lord, and so that she can continue to praise you. We glorify you. We praise you. We ask these things of you in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We glorify in you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deacon Connor, for that hymn, raising it, lifting it up tonight. And we sense the move of God in you, hallelujah, as you raise that hymn tonight, the seriousness of a charge that to keep.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a charge to keep.
Yes, Lord.
And a God to glorify. What a awesome. It's always been a staple in our churches to hear that. But the words of the one who penned the hymn had to be feeling and experiencing something strong. For all the powers that's within us, our charge, come on, talk to me, D. And we want all our powers to be engaged to do our master's will. It is our desire to serve him through this age. The time that we live is but for a moment. As 70 is spoken of in the text, and with reasonable strength, 80. Even in Genesis, it says that man will not live more than 120, but some may have exceeded that. So we want to use everything within our being to serve our God, to serve this age. So I thank you tonight. And I thank you, Brother Everett, for that powerful prayer as you prayed as we walk through this journey of life. And I pray tonight that all that's on the line have had an opportunity to participate in whatever election process that we have in this country. We are members of this country. We were born, pretty much everybody was born in the United States of America. We get to participate, and we know that it's a part of our being able to participate, even with those who may not agree with us. And we know that our God is sovereign and in control. So as we have had this opportunity, polls are closed, and whatever the results are, we know that Jesus is Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Our Lord reigns, and we put our trust in God. But we still have a charge to keep. And we pray that his will is done. And I think as we journey this life, I pray that all participate. This is something that we, on the line, African Americans, blacks in America, have this opportunity to participate. It wasn't until 1960. Before, whenever the Voting Rights Act was passed. And so we have this right and privilege to participate. We participate in the faith that we have in our God that he will take care of us and he will see us through to the journey. I thank God tonight and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we salute you, as I taught last week, as Dr. Singers and I were going through the 16th chapter of Romans last week. I kind of picked up, every now and then you picked up a vernacular from Scripture that you want to kind of use a little bit and hear it. The word salute means greet. I greet you. But I salute you too. So a salute can mean that I greet you, but I also recognize you and honor all of you on the line tonight for your being here and the work that you're doing for the kingdom of God. Here again, Apostle, we're glad to hear your voice tonight, and Dr. Singleton, and I heard Sister Ruby, I heard Deacon Everett and Deacon Connor, and so I hear some voices, and I look forward to hearing voices tonight. Tonight, as we'll talk a little bit about chapter 16 in a summary, and then we'll move into our participation, because it's our desire that we would share a little bit tonight and let the Lord have his way. Holy Spirit, have your way with us tonight. Come into our presence and speak to our hearts, whatever convictions we may have. Last week in chapter 16, we could see the power, as I said, of DEI in the church, the power of diversity, the power of equity, and the power of inclusion. That is DEI, as I saw it in the text. And as we went through the honorable mention roll call of Paul, beginning with Sister Phoebe, that great servant to the church, we can see that the diversity through all the people that Paul had mentioned in chapter 16, we see the diversity within the body of Christ. Yes, different people. There were women, men, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, young and old, faithful servants of Jesus Christ, all coming and having accepted him as their Lord and Savior, as the Christ, the Messiah, as the deliverer and sustainer of their life. So the Apostle Paul encouraged the unity of those believers while cautioning them to guard against anyone who is causing conflicts and enticing others with teachings contrary to which they had already learned and been taught about the way. Yes, the way. The way of following Jesus Christ. The way of justification by faith. Yes, the way of sanctification, the holiness. Yes, all of those things. Yes, so they were taught these things. He warned them. And if there are people like that in our churches, he admonishes us to stay away from them. Yes, sometimes you have to avoid them in the situation. Not that you don't have an agape love toward them, but you have to be careful if they're trying to be false teachers and swaying us in different directions. Although there is diversity in the church, differences of people, there must be unity. There should be unity, for there is one body for believers, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, who works through all, and is in all of us. We are one with that diversity of people who have diversities of gifts flowing through them, or flowing through us, if you will, from the same Spirit. It is the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit that flows through us. We all have different gifts to bring to this body of believers.
Yes.
Whether
yes.
it's on this line, or whether it's in your church home, or whether it's where you are, where you're anywhere where you're gathered with other believers. When two or three are gathered in the name of our Lord, he will be in the midst. And surely when we gather, the gifts can operate according to his will. We may do different things in the church, but the same God gives us what we need to work for him according to his will. Yes, sometimes we have our will, but let his will be done. And I know that sometimes it can be challenging because we want his will to line up with our will. But there are times when his will may go against your will. but let his will be done. Yes, as Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. We must submit ourselves to the power of God. There is equity in the church because we treat our neighbors as ourselves. Yes, we are to love them as we love ourselves, providing equal opportunity for all of us to serve and to be served. Even on this line is an opportunity to serve. Even in your churches or in your community or wherever you are, you have an opportunity to serve. Loaves and fishes, Dr. Deb serves and others serve there. And I know that you all do different things where you are out and about as you travel in this world. There is inclusion because we respect everyone's voice being heard as we encourage all of us to express our ideas, whatever our perspectives are, and even revelations that we receive. So we have an opportunity to share and to encourage one another so that we can include all of us as part of this body. I need you, and you need me, the songwriter says. We're all a part of God's body. Yes, we're all part of this body. So we must care for one another and share with one another. We stand on the word of God. We stand on the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. We stand on the power of Holy Spirit. We stand, that's our foundation, is Christ. And the power of God operating in our lives affects others whom we are around. Yes, we always going to have an opportunity to inject ourselves into this, into our communities, into the world, into our families, into our nation, that we might be a light to a dying world. So here again, through the diversity and equity and inclusion that we see in the church, we see that we can have effective ministry as the kingdom of God is being magnified through the body of Christ on earth. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, but he ushered into a new kingdom. And we are part of that kingdom of God, that kingdom of heaven on earth. And we are to inject ourselves into the process. It could be as simple as injecting yourself into your family. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Into your community. Yes. Into your city. Whatever you do and wherever you go, let your light shine so others might see the good work that Christ is doing in you. Yes, we are family. Yes, I consider you all my family. We are relatives. We are related through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are friends. What a friend we have in Jesus, we say, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything, not something, but everything to him in prayer. If there's anxiety on the line, we carry it to him in prayer. If there is trouble in our lives, we carry it to him in prayer. If there's sickness and disease, we carry it to him in prayer. If there's anxiety over who will win this election tonight, we carry it to the Lord in prayer. Everything to him in prayer. Yes?
Everything.
We love, Deacon, and we care about each other. Yes. Yes. I'm so glad that I had an opportunity to make your acquaintance on the line. I'm so glad I got a chance to meet some of you face to face. But when I got to know you on the line, as I mentioned before, that's a beautiful thing because I couldn't judge by anything but what I could hear and what the Holy Spirit would reveal to me on the line. So I knew you first before I saw you. That's a blessing because God doesn't look on our outward appearance. He looks at our hearts. And so I thank God for the acquaintance of getting to know you, to getting to bond with you all, and to getting to share with you all in this journey. A church divided cannot stand. Yes, we must be united as a body. Now, I want to say this, as you go back and you rehash Romans, this road of the Romans road, we talk about the Romans road to salvation, but it was so much more in this book other than just the justification point. Paul lays out his document before us, the power of how he shared this and walked us through it through each chapter as we have it by chapter and verse. So we all should continue to acknowledge and commend us, each other, as fellow workers in the ministry of Christ, sharing the gospel of Christ to others. So we all are fellow workers in this ministry of the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ together. I pray may God keep all of us to the end of our journey. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, as we look forward, we want to get some discussion going in as we summarize the book of Romans that we have journeyed to. Yes, this has been a powerful journey for me. There's a transforming power in the Word of God. Yes, I can listen to somebody teach. I can listen to somebody preach. I can listen to people on the radio or wherever it may be. But when I get in and read the Word and hear the words of the Scripture text, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So there's power in the Word of God just to hear it. It has touched my life. Believe me, and I'm speaking with the vernacular that I'm using today, but I'm telling you, I cannot go into the Word of God and not be impacted by what God says on the pages of the text. I cannot. Mm-hmm. Some things are spiritually discerned, and the Holy Spirit will bring the conviction that you need at the time that you hear the Word presented to you. So tonight, to kind of kick this off and not, because I'm going to ask Dr. Deb to come in here in a second, but I had talked to her earlier, and I said, well, maybe what I can do tonight as we're summarizing the book of Romans, this being session 17, I will share some spiritual verses from each chapter, maybe one or two from each chapter so I can get through it quickly. And hopefully you are prepared tonight, some of you, to share something of spiritual nugget of something that the book of Romans has spoke to your heart or dealt with you in conviction as we have gone through this journey. 17 weeks at least we've been on this journey together. Some of you may have not been there every week, but there are times you've been there, and all you had to do to fill in the gap was to read what the chapter was when you were not there. But just to hear your voice tonight will be a blessing to us as a body of believers. So let's see what God can share through the power of his Holy Spirit with us tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go real quick tonight before I turn it over to Dr. Deb. And I'm going to read, like I said, at least one verse of scripture from each chapter. I just picked something out. I thought it was a challenge. Listen, Dick, when I was going through and reviewing and going back in summary, you know, and I talked to Dr. Deb and I said, I'm going to pick a verse out of it. You know, it was hard to pick one. Hallelujah. Because sometimes they kind of flow together. But we'll see what God has, and we'll try to stick to those, because you may have one that you want to share tonight with us and how that affected you. But I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to expound upon them. After I read each verse that I picked out, I'm going to read them to you. I sent it to you all in the text. Everything that I'm speaking to, I sensed that this was coming out of my spirit today as I was preparing for tonight. So the first verse was Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And the scripture reads this way. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
All right.
Romans chapter 2. I'm just going to flow through them. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision mm-hmm. is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans chapter 3, I selected right. verses 22 and 23. 22 reads, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 4, I selected verses 23 and 24. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, talking about Abraham, that it was imputed to him, yes, deposited into his account, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Ooh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful walking through Romans. Romans chapter mm-hmm. 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, I pick verses 22 and 23. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you mm-hmm. have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are lovers of Christ here tonight. Woo.
Amen.
Come on. Just walking through Romans here. Chapter 7.
Go ahead.
Verse 6 and 7 I chose to read. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What mm-hmm. shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. But I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shall not covet. Romans chapter 8.
All right.
So much in that one right there. But I chose verses 14 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. For you mm-hmm. have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Come on, no fear here. But you
all
have
right,
received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
Daddy, I need you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has children.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Romans chapter 9. I got to stay mm-hmm. on course here. I chose verses 31 through 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore?
Mm-hmm.
Because they sought it not by faith, but as it was by the works of the law. They couldn't keep it. For they
mm-hmm.
stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block, a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. The law can cause, I don't want to preach, but the law can cause us to stumble. But we have a rock. We can believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on him and we shall not be ashamed. I wasn't supposed to expound. Let's go. Romans 10. So you should have some favorite verses in the book of Romans, and hopefully you can expand that a little bit tonight. Romans chapter 10, I chose verses 8 through 10, familiar passage to us. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. 11. Chapter 11. I chose that to chapter 11, verses 33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Paul talking at the end of this chapter, because he told them some things that didn't make sense concerning the Jews and the Gentiles, and how the Jews were rejecting Christ, and then the Gentiles got grafted in, but they're not supposed to get haughty about it, because God's still going to bring his promise to them. But look, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Who knows the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, God, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Chapter 12. Well, I couldn't go nowhere but the first two verses of chapter 12. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is but your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ooh, that's always powerful on that, those verses. Chapter 13. Now, this, I have to confess, as I get to 13, 14, and 15, this was the area that really, Deacon Connor, really touched me as we were studying through the book of Romans. Oh, yes. So let's go. In chapter 13, I chose verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, and drunkenness, not in chamberlain or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
All right.
Put on Christ. Oh, I got to put him on. I like that. Put on Christ.
Yes.
Got to wear him. Chapter 14, I chose verses 17 through 19. It reads this way. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's, I had to choose King James, Deacon Connor, because I like Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit is there. I like to hear that goat. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Yes. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I got to build you up. Let's not tear people down. Let's build them up. I'm not supposed to be preaching on this. Now, let's go.
That's all right. That's all right.
Chapter 15. I'm holding. I'm holding. Chapter 15.
I chose verses 5 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we were talking about the strong bearing the infirmities of the weak, those who have different convictions, but not to please ourselves. We want to be concerned about our brothers and sisters who don't have different convictions, and we are to let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. It's what Paul started out. But I chose these three verses here. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. According to Christ Jesus, be like-minded toward one another, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Isn't it beautiful when we glorify God in unity? Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. He received us to the glory of God. Powerful, powerful. The last chapter, chapter 16, which was the roll call of commendation and recognition of those that served in the church. I chose out of chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. I see this as my benediction, because I'm ending my treatise here. I chose these verses. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I've read my selected scriptures from those texts and hope that that ministered to you in some way. And I want you to know that there was a handout that we had, and so there, if you studied that too, this should have been a well-rounded journey through the book of Romans. A complete, I have read this book several times, but I have never journeyed to it like I journeyed with you all on this path. It has been a blessing to me. And I want to turn this over to Dr. Deb, and so that she can share as she sees fit, and then Apostle Adside or anybody else who would want to share something about this great book of Romans. What Paul has done for us. I think as Dr. Deb had asked that we come and do this book, I never thought how God was orchestrating the timeliness of this book. I'm going to say this, and I'll be quiet. I want you to understand this book was timely. Not all scriptures time can be timely to us, but sometimes it's a rhema time. When I looked at what we have journeyed through in the book of Romans, from the beginning to the end, coming toward the end, it prepared me for the process that we're going through in our country, even through the election process and what may occur afterwards. Paul was talking to the Romans, he was talking to the church at Rome, which consists of Jews and Gentiles. It consists of a diversity of people who were there together in, under the Roman Empire. We talked about that. Even to the point that they got exiled from the Jews and the Christians got exiled for a while by Emperor Claudius. But inside of that Roman Empire, they were able to be a part of it, to have their worship and have their religion and have their faith. They were in the midst of all of that, even under the rule of the Romans. So I don't care who in charge. The church is going to be the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, the declaration of faith of Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. On the declaration of Peter's mouth, Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. So it doesn't matter. because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. The church will keep moving as we keep believing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what our charge is. A charge to keep I have. The God to glorify, Deke. My dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. So whether I live, Paul says in his, whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Dr. Dale's got to get me out of here because I got caught up again. But I just love this, and I hear it.
Yes.
To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill whatever God has called you to do, you should fulfill that call before God and engage all your powers to do your master's will. He's our master.
Yes.
I'm his servant.
Yes.
And I'm to do his will. God have mercy upon us, and God has strengthened us to be able to serve him as Paul has outlined to us in this book. I'm done, Dr. Dale. I got to turn it over. May God bless all of the saints on the line tonight, and may it edify your hearts and your soul and your spirit to go forth to do the work of the God. Dr. Dale.
Amen. We certainly want to thank Pastor Reggie, Professor Reggie, for coming and sharing these 17 weeks with us from the book of Romans. We have certainly had a journey. Pastor Reggie, as I look back over the chapters, look back over the weeks, we do have some perfect attendance on our line as well, who's tuned in with us each week, who's brought, I believe, their pen, their paper, their Bibles. But the most important thing, I pray, not only did we receive knowledge, not only did we receive understanding, but we also receive wisdom. Wisdom where it's that we will apply what we have learned in this journey through the book of Romans. There were some concepts or some words that grabbed me, or key terms from the book of Romans. One was my identity. Going from a walk in the darkness to the walk of life, going from being one that was separated from God, one that was, they used the word hostility, they used the word that we were separated from God. But I heard the word in the scripture talk to me about my new identity of being adopted. My new identity that I am a kingdom citizen, my new identity that was personified in Romans as an ambassador. I am an ambassador of Christ Jesus, meaning I am a representative. That representation is not just on Sunday. That representation is not just on Tuesday, Wednesday when I go out to Bible study. But that representation of Jesus Christ is every day. In my daily life, I am to let my light shine. We are called to be the salt and the light of the world. So that was one word, adoption and transformation, the changing of the way I used to think to the way in which God wants us to think as disciples of Christ. We are to be renewed. Our minds are to be renewed by the word of God. We see that as Pastor Reggie shared, and he and I had some of the same scriptures we picked out, not even sharing that with each other. But when it talks about us having a new mind, a new way of thinking, that means that we love our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us.
Yes.
And the love that we are to have is called agape love, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And as I listened, Pastor Reggie, one of the things, a concept that came to mind is this, is that it is agape love that is the glue that holds it all together. The real love, the authentic love that we are to have for our brothers and our sisters. The unity that we must have amongst the community of believers. How we as disciples of Christ, kingdom citizens, ambassadors, are to walk in holiness. holiness, right living that is aligned to the biblical principles and truth of God. Yes, biblical principles, biblical truth of what God says about living.
Yes.
I too like chapter number 16, where we can highlight our brothers and sisters, where we can encourage them, that we saw them as risk takers, Pastor Reggie. We saw
yes.
them as ones who were servants. We saw them giving their last, giving their energy, giving their monies. But most of all, I believe that this group was a praying group. They knew how to go into their prayer closet. They knew how to call on the Lord. Another concept that I gleaned from our study as we walk through Romans is the old versus to the new. You saw that many of the Jews were leaning on the law, the law, the law. It's what's
yeah.
going to get us to heaven. It's what's going to get us to be able to walk in Jerusalem and walk on those streets that are paved with gold and see the pearly gate. No, it's not. It is faith in God. Faith in God.
Right.
It even mentions Abraham. And it was through Abraham. Abraham is with the Lord because of his faith in God, not being a keeper of the law. Another concept that I gleaned from Romans, I don't know about you all, but this word justification. Sometimes we look at it as a big word, but as we continue to walk through the book of Romans, it lets me know that justification is being made right with God through the finished
Amen.
Work of Jesus Christ. The work
yes.
that he did there at Calvary and my receiving him as my personal Savior. My question tonight, do you know you've been justified? Do you know
yes.
that you've been saved? Do you know that you've been born again? As Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John 3:3, you must be, you got to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, and as Peter was speaking to the crowd and they asked the question, Peter, what is it that we must do? Peter said, you must repent. And when he finished
oh,
telling
yeah.
about repentance, he said that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's another concept, Sister Janice, that I got from the study of Romans, is that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of believers. Yes, Sister Maddie Freeman, the Holy Spirit comes in at that point of salvation where we truly, sincerely give our lives to him. He comes in, but we learn in Romans that we must submit, we must surrender, and we must walk in obedience. We just can't do what we want to do, y'all. We can't say what
right.
we want to say and go where we want to go. Yes, we're grown, but let me tell you something. If you're going to be the salt and the light that God is calling you to be, he's calling you to be holy. He's calling you to be righteous. And let me tell you something. It ain't nothing boring about being holy. Ain't nothing boring about being
yeah.
righteous, because we are kingdom citizens. And we
yeah.
have been called to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Yes, yes, we've been called as kingdom citizens to bring heaven concept to earth. So when I look at Romans, I saw the word justification, but then I moved from being justified to the process of sanctification. Yes, Sister Brenda Williams, we are called to be sanctified. This is a process, you all, a process of being set apart, a process that the believers is called to, a process, again, that talks about service, again, a process that
yeah.
talks about spiritual growth. And the only way that I'm going to make it through, Sister Ann Mack, is through this sanctification process, is I got to immerse myself in the Word of God. I got to read the Word, you all. Not only do I have to read the Word, but I got to comprehend the Word, understand the Word, and be a doer of the word. That was a concept, again, that I received as I walked through this book of Romans. Another concept I received, you all, as well, is grace, God's mercy that is shown toward all men, women, boys, and girls. Romans makes it so clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it makes it so clear that we don't have to stay in that dead state, that state of being dead and separated from God. Yes, again, I have to take it to Calvary because of the finished work of Jesus Christ there. I don't have to stay in the shape that I'm in. I don't have to stay separated from God. That I can be a part of the kingdom. Yes, another word, concept that I picked up from reading Romans and walking with you, Pastor Reggie, was regeneration. Yeah, that's a part of the key terms in our packet that we got. This word regeneration, the act of the Holy Spirit by which the person who believes in Christ is given new life, and that they are born again. I need us. I need Deborah. Deborah needs to walk in this new life. I've been born again. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been purified, and we have to walk in holiness and walk in righteousness. We have to watch what we say, you all. Yeah, we have to watch our speech. We have to watch our conduct. We say that we are citizens of the kingdom, then no matter where you go, somebody ought to know that that's a child of the king. Your light ought to be shining, whether you sitting at the Golden Corral, whether you down at the Longhorn, whether you over at the Red Lobster, that waitress, somebody in there ought to know that you are a child of the king. Oh, I thank you for this study. This study in Romans brought another concept to me as well. It's spiritual death. Spiritual death. That separation from God. That spiritual death that will take us to an eternal home that's called hell. Oh, I heard a preacher say something today, and it kind of bothered me a little bit. He was sharing a eulogy on this gentleman, and he said, this man never changed. He was the same from the time he was born, and they knew each other till the time he left. Let me tell you all something. When the Holy Spirit comes in, there ought to be a change in our lives. I may not get no amens on it, but there ought to be a change in our lives. The old man, the old woman, when our friends see us at the class reunion, you can be able to tell them that they ought to be able to see it. You don't have to tell them. They ought to be able to see it, that you know what? Something's changed about you. And you can say, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven then signed my name. I know I've been changed because the old way, the old devil, when you hurt me, I will hurt you. You harm me, I will harm you. The old person, we have to understand we are to die to the flesh daily. We have to die. We have all been hurt. We have all been disappointed. We have all been let down. But when I walked through the book of Romans, I was strengthened, you all. I was strengthened to love those who may not love me. I was strengthened to pray for those who may not pray for me. I was strengthened to go out into the fields and tell others about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus lives and that Jesus saved. I was strengthened, Pastor Reggie, through the whole idea of that every soul matters.
Yes. Hallelujah.
These concepts that came alive for me as we walked through this, through the book of Romans. So I wanted to kind of go ahead on and share mine, and I want others to come, but Deacon Carl, your song was on target tonight. Charge. I have been given a charge. God has given me a charge, and I got to keep it. He's given it to me. so that we can serve, so that we can teach, but most of all, so we can be an example of Christ Jesus. My question tonight, do you know that you are a kingdom citizen? Do you know that you are ambassador for Christ? Do you know you represent him no matter where you go, no matter where you sit? I don't care if you go on a cruise. I don't care if you're going to this place or that place. It's like I tell people. They ask me about the Price is Right. Oh, you were really blessed on the Price is Right. I was, but let me tell you this. I was blessed before I ever got there. I was blessed before I ever went up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I want us to understand as we walk through this book of Romans, we were strengthened, we were blessed spiritually. And we've been strengthened in our muscles, you all. So when you get strengthened in your muscles, people ought to see something new. They ought to see something new because you didn't reject the word, you accepted the word, and now you are going to walk the word out. So others come tonight. I desire, what word jumped out at you as you walked through this book of Romans? What phrases, what concepts that captured you that you are saying, I know I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. I know that my relationship with God is not based upon works. I know I can't work for my salvation, but because I'm saved, I am on the battlefield for the Lord. Who else on the line that desires to share tonight about being a kingdom disciple, a kingdom citizen tonight? Hello? Are you there?
Anybody?
What scripture may have resonated with you as you looked in the book of Romans? What word that you capture that you got a better understanding of as you walk through the book of Romans?
Amen. Good evening. Good evening to each of you on the line tonight. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was just talking with my mute still on, but I thank God for this journey, this walk through the book of Romans. And I like the chapter by chapter and verse by verse. A lot of times when the Holy Spirit gives us a particular verse in a chapter, I've always said we have to back up and go forward to get the gist of the whole meaning a lot of the times. And so I thank God for the walk through the book of Romans. And as I reflect on the book, there's the verse in chapter 15, verse number 4, that said that these things that was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture may have hope. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to give the church hope. You know, the Bible talks about if we bite and devour one another, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be bitten and devoured. And so God stresses unity in the body. I think it's Psalms 133:1, say how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he goes on to say it's like the anointing oil that was poured on the head of the beard of Aaron, and how it run down to the skirts. And I see that anointing oil is being poured on the head and then hit the beard and on down to the skirts. I when God blesses the head, he wants to bless the whole church. It runs from the head to the hem of the garment. And so what he desires for his body, and Jesus himself prayed, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. Talking about Jew and Gentile, black, white, red, brown, it doesn't matter. God is of no respect to person. And if we can get, you know, people together, the Bible tells us to consider the ant. You know, how when they get together, how they work in harmony and get things done. And this is what God desires for the body, even in electing the Jewish people as his people to spread the gospel to bring others in. And when we're not unified, when we don't get together, when there's division among the body, it causes people to look and to say, if they are doing that or not doing this, then why do we need to do this and that? So it's so important that we are together, that we love the same, that we speak the same, you know, that we come together. And all of the scripture, and especially this book that we just finished walking through, I thank God for the teachers, the readers, all of you that expounded upon the word to give us a clearer understanding of what it is saying, because he admonished us out of all our getting to get understanding. We can read the entire Bible and don't understand it, and we've not really accomplished a whole lot. And so when we have those as the eunuch said to Philip as he joined him in the chariot, reading from the book of Isaiah, and asked him if he understood, he said, how can I accept some man? So we thank God for men and women that can expound upon the word and give us a clearer understanding, clear revelation of what it is saying and what it requires. And that's what Paul has done in this book of Romans. And I've heard it said so much all of my life concerning the book of Romans. If there was no other scripture but the book of Romans, it tells us what happened and how salvation came and what we need to do to obtain that salvation. And it's just like a little Bible all by itself. And so I gained a lot in reading through the word of God over and over again. Sometimes you might let things slip, or sometimes you don't even see what you saw before. But I thank God for you all walking through this book and, you know, leading us through the walk in this book, because it was a blessing to me. We can always find the word of God, some blessings, some nuggets in it that will benefit each of us. And I thank God for the word of God. And I see that Paul was instructing the church at Rome, if you come together, we can accomplish some things. We know the adage, you know, together we stand, divided we fall. And it's true even of the church. You know, we can be biting and fighting and devouring one another, and all of us going to wind up devoured. But when we can come together around one common cause, one purpose, and that is the purpose of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming that new creature in Christ, you know, to fulfill our calling. And we all have a calling. We all have a mission. And God wants us to fulfill it. But when we come together, it can be done. When we support one another, when we lift one another and not tear one another down. You know, when jealousy, the Bible says jealousy is as cruel as a grave. And so when we get to, you know, get envy and let that thing set up in our hearts, and we get to undermining one another, and the Bible said if we tear down that which we build, we make ourselves transgressive. And so it is so important, this unity that Paul is talking about tonight. No little I's, no big U's, but realize that we are all the children of God. And I heard him, ain't no grown folk in him. He said, I say unto your little children, you know. And so when we realize, when we humble ourselves and become like little children, you know, we can get together. We can have that one common call. We can have that one purpose. As one writer say, that one thing that he wanted more than other, he will seek after it. If we can seek after the purpose of God is winning souls and being fisher men, and, you know, get that one thing mentality, that more than anything, to bring people into the kingdom of God. I was just thinking today as I was sitting around and thinking about the power of God and the things that the Lord has said, that as ministers of the gospel or Christians, that if we believe, we could accomplish and we could do certain things. if we would search and seek for those things a lot of times and try to not seek in our own agenda, we could accomplish so much. The Bible say the early church with the disciples, after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell, they continued daily in the work in the word of the Lord and breaking of bread, going from house to house, and the gospel spread. So what happens, why it's so important to have unity in the body? If we don't have unity in the body, if we're not unified, it hinders the spread of the gospel. When we get to fighting and devouring and not staying on our post, we abandon our post, and we over here doing this, doing that, got competition going on. We hinder the flow. We hinder the spread of the word of God, and that will make us transgressive. So I really was blessed to see how the Apostle Paul, from the beginning of the first chapter until the end, and then to he esteemed those that was, you know, doing a work and staying on course. And we should honor one another. And, you know, we don't realize a lot of times that when we are esteeming one another and, you know, building one another up, a lot of times things that we need will come and we don't even realize will come because we're so busy fulfilling that mission. We're so busy trying to get that calling fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's so important that the church be unified with one purpose, one goal, not my agenda, not yours, but the Christ agenda. It's the purpose for which he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul spoke of all of these things in this book, this one book, the book of Romans, and it is a powerful book. And there's so much in it. It's so much in it. If we would just adhere to it, if we would just do it, I believe the church was so unified after the day of Pentecost, you know, even when they sold their possessions, that everybody would have the needs met. They were unified, you know. It wasn't, we found one couple that, you know, we always going to have that one that's going to, you know, do a little different. But if the bulk of the church could come together, I believe we would see the miracles and signs and wonders that we saw or read of in the book of Acts. And so that's why it's so important to get it done. When the church service, and I've seen this practically all my life, when the church come together, nobody has his agenda, even in a praise and worship service. And the power of God fall, and then you begin to see the gifts operating from this one and from that one. You know, and so it's so important that we come together. We have that one goal, you know, that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. We would see the gospel spread. We could see some of those Book of Acts things yet being done in our day. You know, as I heard Pastor Piper say, you know, God has given you this and me that and her and him this, and when we bring them together, you know, back in that days, a lot of times the Bible said that some of the ministers of the gospel, the disciples, would go down and preach repentance and preach coming to Christ and get that heart prepared. And then they would send for another two disciples to lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. And this stuff works together when we work it. And I just saw that as so important for us today, is to be unified, is to be one in Christ. Having the same mind, same purpose. And I was blessed for that because I constantly quote that scripture, that 15:4, that these things that was written, even the Old Testament, that people say they don't read the Old Testament, they don't live by the Old Testament, but it's a schoolmaster, it's a teacher, and we learn and understand a lot of what we have in the new because of the old. So the things that Paul had written to the church in Rome yet apply to us today. And if we could do those things that are contained therein, we would see the church grow. We would see the church be the church that God has planned and wanted it to be. And so I just thank God for the word of God and for each of you. Again, I want to say I love you all with the love of God, and hope that each of you will have a great, blessed rest of your week, regardless to the outcome, that we can still unify and glorify God with one voice. God bless each of you.
Amen. Apostle, I do have a question for you. As you were sharing, it took me back to Romans chapter 12, and it speaks to, especially in those verses 9 through 21, and maybe we want to highlight that in our Bibles as well, because it speaks to what our daily conduct is to be as disciples of Christ, as citizens of the kingdom. And it speaks to that our behavior is to be different from those that are spiritually dead, because Amen. we are spiritually alive, and God has given us expectations, and sometimes we brush over the expectations, but he makes it so clear in Romans 12, 9 through 21, here is what I expect from you as one who is spiritually alive. You are my children. I expect you to love sincerely. I expect you to be affectionate and honor one another. I expect you to be diligent and fervent in serving me. I expect you to be patient. I expect you to be hospitable. I expect you to bless persecutors. Right there in verse 14 of Romans chapter 12. I expect you to empathize in joy and sorrow. I expect you to, and here's what you just talked about. I expect you to seek unity, verse 16. I expect you to refuse to seek revenge. I expect you to be at peace with everyone, and I expect you to overcome evil with good. What Amen. A layout right there, the expectation of a citizen of the kingdom. If we are going to bring the kingdom that is in heaven to earth, we have to carry out those expectations out in our daily conduct, in our daily lives. But my question to you, Apostle, is this. Based upon the study of the book of Romans and your own study, what three things would you say we need to pray about as a church? And I'm not talking about a building. You all, I'm talking about the organism, the living organism, because the church, Christ lives in us. We carry the church with us every day. We go to assemblies, we go to buildings to be built up in Christ, to be built up in the word, so that we can go forth and carry out the mandate of Matthew 28, 19 through 20 and be kingdom citizens. But what would you say the three things that the church, the organism, need to pray for?
Amen, amen. Well, I guess we could have a whole lot of things, but I see number one, we must have that agape love. We must have that love that goes from breath to breath, from one to another. Before we can do anything, first of all, as he said, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul. And that right there would take care of a lot of things. If our love, if our vertical love, the vertical from heaven to earth to heaven, if we could love Christ the way, you know, he has said that we should love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then our neighbor as ourselves. So the number one thing that I would say, without that love, we're not going to do it. The Bible said that love works no evil, you know, to its neighbor. It doesn't sit up and plan and plot. It always seeks, you know, the good of its neighbor, of a brother, of the, you know. So I see number one is love. And then we got to have a purpose. We've got to have a reason. We've got to have, as Deacon Karn is saying, we got to understand that we have a charge to keep, that we do have an assignment, as you read all of those behaviors and that conduct of the people of God, how it should be, and all of those conducts that you read, we ought to know how to behave ourselves. The Bible said that, you know, woe be unto him, to her, whoever, that puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in the brother's way. So the word of God is so vast, and there's so many things, but I see, first of all, love, and then we have to have that a purpose, you know, a reason, and we have to be sincere. We have to be, you know, voluntarily genuine about our walk with Christ. We have to have a made-up mind. but to have love and have that purpose. And I think those things will take us a long way. If we love like we should, it would create a desire. It creates a greater desire in us to be all. As I said earlier, I was just thinking and meditating, and I began to think about the works and the so many people are hurting, and the church has been given power to do things, and we're not on those posts. We are bogged down in situations. I've had so many people in the last 3 weeks that bombarded me with their problems, their situation, and to the point that my heart was so heavy, you know, and I began to say to the Lord, you know, just going about doing something, you know, to say I'd done it. But I said, you know, a brother had approached me, and of course this brother believed that the apostle, the prophet, went out with the disciples, and there's none for the day, so they're always wanting to debate and wanting to know how I became an apostle, how you do that, and this, that, and the other. And when I gave him the scripture in Ephesians that he said he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, this is why he gave it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we would strengthen the people of God, that those gifts were given to be a blessing to the body of Christ, to do the work that he said we should lay hands on the sick and they would recover, you know, that signs and wonders, that miracles just like in Acts would happen. But I believe if we line up, first of all, with the true, real, honest to good and genuine love of God, it would change a lot of things in our lives, and it wouldn't be so hard for us to line up. We sometimes make living right so hard and, you know, apply a lot of rules and regulations and a lot of do's and don't. But I believe if we would really get the love for Christ in order first, and then we would go to our neighbor and our brother, that love relationship for God and for people, for man, I believe a lot of things would change. Our behaviors would change. We wouldn't find it so difficult to do certain things and to get certain things done. But I believe, first of all, love and genuine faith, you know, to believe he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. We need that faith. We need to believe. We need that hope. We don't need to be yes, no, maybe so. One day we believe, one day we don't. But if we would get those things together, I just believe faith, hope, and charity, I believe it'll do some things for us. Faith, the love of God, and a hope that is in Christ Jesus. He said we should be ready to give an answer to every man that asked of us the reason of hope that was in it. People are losing hope in this day and in this hour, even in the church.
Yes.
He said, you know, in the last days there will be a great falling away, and people
yes.
are so pressed now, and they are so down and out. And I began to tell God that, God, I don't even want to go if you don't go with me. I want to see some manifestation. I want to see some change in people's life. You know, when we pray, a lot of times people say, pray for me, and we go on, we may have a prayer, say something and stuff, but we don't see much change. And I think if we would get that, those three things where he said love was the most important, faith,
yes.
hope, and charity, the greatest of these is love. And I believe if we would get that love relationship with God, then we can love one another. Then our faith can grow because we can teach and share the word with one another and get people to really back to the faith, as Jude say, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that's what we need to be doing, contending for that faith that moved the mountains, those faith that got the miracles and the signs and the wonders. The Bible say because of that report, women received their sons alive that had died.
Yes,
and God
yes.
is the same today, yesterday, and
yes.
forever. But I believe I could just use that, faith, hope, and charity. If we could get those things down, you know, genuinely, that they are in us, they are part of us, they are our behavior, I believe we would see the not only the church, but I believe we would reach those that are outside of the church.
Amen. Amen. I think you're so right, Apostle. And I believe for us that are intercessors, certainly Sister Brenda and other intercessors on the line, we need to add this to our prayer list, that we pray for agape love to just flow from heart to heart. You know, the older people would pray heart to heart, breast to breast. And I think that's so important, is that vertical, horizontal love that you speak of. We love God, but we don't love the one that we see every day. And,
all right.
And the tearing down of those barriers of, and you spoke about barriers, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness. And I will say Romans, for me, tears down those barriers or stumbling blocks that we allow to get in our way that prevents us from receiving all that God has for us. We have
Amen.
Not even touched the iceberg yet, I mean the tip of it yet, because if you're holding something in your heart against someone, I tell you tonight, let it go.
Amen.
If you feel that you can't let it go, ask the Lord, Lord, I desire to let it go. I don't want to hold on to this unforgiveness any longer. I don't want to hold on to this burden of worry, this burden of they did this to me. I'm saying tonight, you all, I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking from what I think or what somebody told me. I know without a shadow of a doubt. If you allow, you have to let it go and allow God to heal that place and move forward in your ministry. There are some people on this line. I don't know who you are who going to listen to this after tonight. You're stuck. And Apostle, I heard the word as you were speaking, the word stuck. You're stuck.
All
because
right.
of what you're holding. But I will
yeah.
tell you tonight, when you understand that you have a charge to keep and you can't keep that charge and stay on your assignment if you're holding on,
amen,
I will
amen.
Tell you, God is not a healer. He is the healer.
Yes,
he is the deliverer.
Yes.
There's no one else can do this. You have to get unstuck.
Amen, amen.
And I will tell you all, I know what it's like to be stuck.
All right.
So I will tell you, this study for me has freed me and has loosened some things in my own life that I can move forward and do other things that God has called me to do. He's told me, prioritize. That like you
yes.
talked about tonight, that's just a confirmation. We got to prioritize. The Lord didn't tell us to do all these things that we're doing. We're doing
You're
them.
Right about it.
We have to prioritize. The first priority is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Priority
Amen.
Number one. So I thank you, Apostle. I know somebody else on the line has something to say or about the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on, talk to us tonight. What is the Holy
Amen.
Spirit in your life? Is the Holy Spirit alive in your life? Talk to us tonight. We got one more question, and we're going to close out with prayer. I'm going to ask Apostle to come and close out with prayer after this question. Someone come and talk to us about the experience the Holy Spirit has had in your life through these last 16, 17 weeks. Have you been sick? Have you had a situation? Have you had worry? Have you had anxiety? What has the word, the Holy Spirit, spoken to you and how the Holy Spirit has ministered to you? Because this is what it says, that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But what did God do? When you received him as your personal Savior, he said that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to you. And when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit and you activate it, submitting and surrendering, I know
Amen.
That the peace that it brings. Somebody talk to us tonight before we ask Apostle to close us out in prayer. The Holy Spirit in your life.
Amen.
Good evening, Jay.
Good evening, Uncle John.
I came to talk about unity. What the church needs is more unity. Is Pastor Kuiper was talking about verse 21 last week, where his kin folks, Lucas, Jason, Josephus, Adam, sort of a strange thing for his kin folks. As he said, some of them was to be walking with him in the wood, because it seemed like your kin folks first to separate themselves when you start talking about the wood. Well, we don't know why is that, but even Jesus mother, sister, and brother, they followed Jesus at a distance. How close is your walk? Matthew 12, starting at verse 48, shows us about your kin folks. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards the disciples and said, behold my mother, my brother, for whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Unity with your kin folks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Uncle John, and thank you again for the word that you brought to us on this past Sunday. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Amen. If we don't have any more comments tonight coming from our listeners and those that have been on our journey, I'm going to ask Deacon Connor to give some comments and encouragement to Pastor Reggie, and then we are going to get ready and close out with prayer on tonight. Deacon Connor. Is Deacon Connor still on the line tonight?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, dear. All right. We're going to ask you to close out with encouraging comments to Pastor Reggie, how this study has resonated with you, and then we're going to close out with prayer, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie, for the walk on the word this evening. I have been blessed over the last few weeks to listen to a man that really brings the word of God. Pastor Reggie, the platform. I hope that you bless and you keep him. God to you, sweet Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Pastor Reggie, back over to you, sir.
Well, I thank God for the blessing of walking through the journey with everyone, and thank you, Deacon Connor, for the words and everybody. I really don't have anything else. I'm just absorbing what I'm hearing, Uncle John and Apostle Aside and
Dr. Deb, all that's been shared here tonight has been a blessing to me. I hear unity. I hear so many different things that still resonate with me in the love, you know, that we should have in the charity, that love, and just everything that's been said has been a blessing. So I just thank God for his word. And so we just want to let that continue to marinate with us. And thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this journey and to minister and to be ministered to. So I thank God for the journey through the book of Romans.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And for those that may not have been able to share on the line tonight, write a little note to Pastor Reggie, and we'll get those notes to him and let him know how much you appreciate and what verse in the book of Romans jumped out at you, captured you as well. So we can still get him some notes over and some just saying thank you to him as well. Back over to you, Deacon Connor.
Amen, amen. Such a wonderful, glorious evening, such a wonderful walk. It has been fantastic. Again, thank you, Professor. Pastor Kuiper. Amen, amen. Anyone else? Anyone else with words, comments, encouragements? Amen. I don't remember what the verse was, but I was hit with, let your light shine. Let your light shine. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. Paul is in jail writing this. He's about to be on his chopping block.
Oh, man.
Even behind bars. Let your light shine. Amen. Anyone else? Today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2024, Election Day. Who has something to be happy about? A gift from God, a healing, a blessing. Amen. I thank God that I can see clearly. Amen. Praise reports. Anybody hear me?
Yes. I'm just grateful to be alive. Through everything, I'm still grateful. The pain, the hurt, whatever. I'm just grateful that he's given me another chance to call on the name of Jesus. I'm just grateful that, you know, I can still walk a little bit, talk. I'm just grateful. Food on the table. I mean, I'm just grateful. So I just thank the Lord for life. I may say it all the time, but I'm just grateful for life. Every time you turn around, you hear the news about somebody gone. But guess what, y'all? I'm still here. So I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, ye children. Yes, yes, yes. If there are no other praise reports, so we move on to our brothers and sisters to be added to the prayer list. Amen. Prayer list. Prayer list this evening.
I ask that you all pray for me for traveling grace and mercy as I go back up toward Atlanta on Thursday.
All right.
I'm also asking prayer for God to send the right people for to take care of G while I'm gone.
Okay. Anyone else to be added to the prayer list this evening?
Amen, amen. It's getting late. Let's go, let's go. There's no one to be added to the prayer list this evening. I'm going to ask that Reverend Lou Greg Williams take us to the throne of grace.
Amen. She said Sister Adsad was going to close us out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's impossible.
Paul, are you there?
Sister Brenda?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. I'll yield to you, darling.
All right, sweetie pie. Okay. I did want to say that I favored the book, the 12th book of Romans was my favorite, as I read it several times. It became more and more alive.
Amen.
So, there's so many tidbits in it. But as far as the prayer goes, I am so grateful. Our Father, I too, like Sister Ruby, I'm glad to be on the alive list. It looks like every day somebody's number is being called.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Daily.
Yes, Lord.
As I talk, and I talk to my hometown every day, I talk to Kentucky daily. And when I talk to them daily, they give me different names that are being called.
Yes.
As I walk around Georgia, I get different names that are being called.
Yes.
So I know the roll is being called daily. So it's time to get our house in order.
Yes.
It's time to not hold grudges against our neighbors. Forgiveness is in order. First of all, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for any and all sins that I've committed.
Yes, do, Lord.
I come today, Lord, thanking you for this another day. I thank you for our brother Kiefer, that has given your word so beautifully.
Yes.
For the last few months in the book of Romans. I thank you for our sister, Dr. Deb, that has administered your word along beside him.
Yes.
I thank you for Apostle Adside that has administered your word as well. Mm-hmm. I come this evening lifting up Sister Ruby D.
Yes.
Sister Ruby D, he has been on the field a long time taking care of all her loved ones.
Yeah.
So I salute her, Lord, for her faithfulness in taking care of her loved ones. I lift her up today as she's to travel to Covington. I lift her up for healing. I lift her up for safety and protection.
Yeah.
I lift up Jig, and I lift up those that are to take care of Jig. I come lifting up Pat Taylor today, as
in
I understand she's gone to rehab. I lift up Pat Taylor for healing. Lord have mercy. I come lifting up those that are taking care of her. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I also lift up this election tonight.
Yes.
I know that God is the ultimate king. And he's the one that's going to be in charge no matter who wins. We do pray that we will get someone in office and that will bring dignity to the office. Pray that we will get someone in office that will be a blessing to our community, that will be a blessing to our country, that will be a blessing to this United States of America. So, Lord, as they always end their sentences of saying, God bless America, and I know it's just a slogan for them. But I do hope that that's the true thing, that you will bless America,
as yes.
you have always been doing. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Again, we thank you all for being here. We thank you for being with us through our wonderful walk in the Word in the book of Romans. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So
amen.
As we move to closing out our session this evening, I'd like to thank the prayer warriors, Brother Everett, Sister Brenda. We thank you, oh God, for this song. But most of all, we thank you, oh God, for those that led us down the road.
Yes.
Through the walk in Romans. Pastor, Professor, Ms. McCaffrey, and Dr. Deborah Simpson. We thank you all so much. And as we move on to start this week, we want to say that I pray that the Lord will bless and keep you till we hear you again. Amen, amen, and good night.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Good night to
amen.
All.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
God bless.
Good night,
night.
Family. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Mama. Good night, Maddie.
Good night.
Good night, my patches.
Good night, Sunshine.